You're listening to the Whole Hog Football Podcast, sponsored by Bud Anderson Home Services, bringing you the latest news, position analysis, and more. Here's your hosts, Matt Jones and Scotty Bordelon.
Another Saturday, another early morning, top 25 matchup for Arkansas. This time the Razorbacks, ranked number 13 in the AP poll, will take on number 17, Ole Miss. 11 a.m. Saturday morning at Vaught-Hemingway Stadium in Oxford. Big game for both of these teams because they lost last week. They lost to what most people think are the two best teams in the country, and they both got it kind of handed to them. The Razorbacks fell 37-0 to Georgia. Ole Miss lost 42-21 to Alabama, but that score really wasn't reflective of how the game went. It was 35-0 and 42-7. Going into the fourth quarter. Matt Jones joined by Clay Henry of Hogs Illustrated and Scotty Bordelon of Whole Hog Sports. Clay, this is a game that I think might benefit Arkansas a little bit because I think Arkansas is a little bit better defensively than Ole Miss. But on the flip side, Ole Miss has got a little bit more explosive of an offense.
Yeah, I think you're right, Matt. I think another aspect of this, you never know for sure, but Arkansas might be the healthiest they've been since the first game. And I think KJ Jefferson certainly is closer to full strength. Don't know about Treylon Burks, but he seems to be getting better. The offensive line seems to be healed up. Grant Morgan, I think, was hobbled a little bit early, hurt his knee. So all these guys, I think, will be closer to full speed than they've been. And I think Ole Miss is – they took some knocks, and Bobby Petrino called them owies. At least caused some guys to leave the game for a while, and you don't know how badly they were hurt because the game was such a runaway. You didn't see those guys come back in the game. They might could have played, but I think that this is this is the point in the season where bumps and bruises start to add up, and I think You want your team at full speed for a game like this, and I think it's a good sign for the Razorbacks.
Pretty encouraging that KJ Jefferson's owie is about 100%, right? Like his left knee. They're going to need him to be, sound. And, obviously the defense you're going up against this week is not as talented as the one you faced last week, but I don't think it's your typical Ole Miss defense. And Sam Pittman kind of said that all throughout the week. They've got some pretty good players, whether it's, junior college guys on the defensive line who can rush the passer and get after KJ, or, a defensive back that Sam is familiar with, Otis Reese, or their linebacker from Maryland, transfer from Maryland. There's some talent on that defensive side. So I think Arkansas, and especially KJ, is going to need to be sharp again this week. So it's good that he's healthy.
Yeah, back to what Scotty said, the defenses, I think both of them, and I think Scotty wrote something on this earlier in the week, three transfers really impacted both defenses. And you go across the front with Arkansas, and we've talked about that. But you want to be strong through the middle of the defense, and I don't think Ole Miss was last year. I think they're much improved. Campbell, the linebacker, they've gotten a player at each level, including a safety, that have really galvanized this defense. And, they're not Georgia-like, neither is Arkansas, but they can do some things that kind of give you some problems, a little bit more speed on the field and a little bit more of an attack mode. And I think this could be a game that is not as high scoring as some expect, because I think both defenses will confuse and give problems to the offense.
I think discipline is going to be a real big key this week. And I'm talking about, in terms of, discipline, not committing penalties. These are two of the most penalized teams in the country. Ole Miss comes into this game 129th out of 130 FBS teams, with an average of around 98 penalty yards a game. Arkansas, of course, not very far behind. The Razorbacks, 124th out of 130, now averaging over 83 penalty yards per game after, let's just face it, that was a catastrophe last week at Georgia from a penalty standpoint. 13 penalties for 101 yards, and there were six other flags that were thrown against Arkansas that were either declined or offset, and Grant Morgan said that Jason Autry, the referee, told him that we could have thrown more.
Yeah, I think that's right. And what I've noticed with Arkansas this year, and their cornerbacks are much more aggressive at the snap, and they've been willing to play press coverage. They've been willing to play bump and run. They've been willing to do some things to slow up receivers as they go down the field. And by the same token, their receivers, you know, they've played against that every day in practice, and they know they've got to get some separation. And you see them, the receivers, use their hand. And so what's happened is as the season's kind of gone forward, you've seen officials take notice that Arkansas is playing differently in the secondary, both offensively and defensively, with the ball in the play. More pass interference, more of these type calls. I think that both Alabama and Georgia popularized this way of playing, that they're going to be handsy and they're going to make officials call it. And that's just the way the game's going to be played. And Ole Miss is the same way. So just kind of watch for how pass interference is called. And, you know, we had a game early in the year against Texas where the Big 12 refs, they didn't call anything. I mean, pass interference was just not they let the guys play. So how the game is played might determine 4 or 5 penalties, because I think there'll be some contact with the ball in the air.
I think the discipline aspect of this is kind of twofold. For one, obviously, it's the penalties. And I don't think it'll be as much of an issue for Arkansas this week, because the Ole Miss crowd is not going to be anything like the Georgia crowd. One, because Ole Miss isn't as good as Georgia. They're not as fired up. And two, like, Vaught Hemingway Stadium seats like 25,000 less people than Georgia's stadium does. So I think you will see, you know, a step back in the, you know, pre-snap penalties, the false starts and that kind of thing. And, you know, you have to trust that the guys on defense for Arkansas are going to play, you know, maybe a little bit less handsy than they did last week. Trey Williams maybe doesn't try to predict snap counts this week and get called for a couple offsides penalties. But then the other thing for me, discipline wise, is just it's with Matt Corral, right? Like, Arkansas is going to probably drop 8 and they're going to force him to be patient. And can he have enough discipline to, you know, hit his check down, hit the guy that's 5 or 6 yards downfield rather than try to hit the home run play? Because he did that last year and then he turned into a storyline for all the wrong reasons. And so I think that's Barry Odom's going to test his patience again, and we'll see if he's, you know, disciplined enough to take what's there rather than trying to, you know, try to go get it.
Monteric Brown had 2 pass interference calls last week against Georgia. A lot of the penalty problems, though, were on the Arkansas offensive line. You had 4 false starts, which probably was a byproduct of playing in a, you know, the most hostile environment that they played in at least 2 years. You had a couple of linemen downfield calls that were flagged. One counted, one was declined because it was on a 3rd down that wasn't converted. And then there was an illegal snap on Ricky Stromberg. Clay, the offensive line really struggled a week ago.
Yeah, that's true. And they struggled because of the talent opposite them as much as anything else. And you saw Georgia shifting at the line just before the snap, stemming, and offensive line reacted to that. Those are tough situations when you know the guy opposite you is a great player, not just a good player. I mean, he's an NFL talent. And he's moving, and then you turn your body or just flinch a little bit, and, you know, it's a 5-yard penalty. You know, Burks had a pass interference. I think Warren Thompson had a holding. They spread it around. It wasn't like just the offensive line. I think if you got in the post game and it's like, all right, everybody stand up that had a penalty, you'd have half the room standing up. So it just is like, all right, all you guys are on one bus, and that bus is full.
I think there should be a universal rule moving forward. If you're playing Georgia's defensive line, that your offensive line is allowed to, you know, move a split second early. I think that's the only way that you stand a chance against Jordan Davis.
He was really impressive. I can't get over how good Jordan Davis was last week, by the way. 6'6", 360. and he's got the speed to run Traylon Smith down to the sideline. Where do you find football players like that? One of the big stories this week, Scotty, and you wrote about it, is KJ Jefferson going back to Mississippi. Grew up not far from Oxford, probably less than an hour, just up I-55. How do you think he handles this environment? Because you know that the nerves have really got to be there for him this week.
Yeah, I think there's going to be some nerves, but I also think that, you know, he's going to have a pretty big support system there. Like, there's going to be, his mom told me earlier this week, you know, a group of 20 plus people, you know, there, and they're going to be wearing some custom made 3D t-shirts that are loud. I think they've got like 5 pictures of him in his uniform. There's a Razorback logo near the shirt tail. Razorbacks running down the right side. They're going to be loud, and he'll see them. And I think, you know, that might calm a little bit of those nerves, because, you know, him and his mom, you know, they've dealt with some things in the past. She had a stroke when KJ was a senior in high school, and, you know, she had to have a brain operation and learn how to walk again. You know, she's dealing with some memory loss even now, but, you know, it's, I don't think this Saturday is just not anything that he can't overcome. I mean, he's gone through, you know, a lot, you know, bigger challenges than what he's going to face Saturday, but I think he's going to be okay. You know, it's interesting. His mom also told me that, you know, Ole Miss was obviously, they were involved in his recruiting process, you know, along with Mississippi State too, but Ole Miss's staff, she said, floated the idea of moving him to receiver, and KJ didn't want any part of changing positions. And so he just said, you know, Arkansas kind of took it away from there. It's a big deal for him, a homecoming game, because, I mean, this is the game that his support system can get to, because it's like 30, 45 minutes down the road. I think they're really fired up to see him, and I think he's going to play inspired. It wouldn't surprise me one bit, and especially, you know, just knowing the way that last week went.
It's funny that you said that about trying to, you know, making him into a receiver or whatever. I can remember during the recruiting process, and then after he actually got to campus and talking to Joe Craddock, and it's like, well, is he a quarterback, or are y'all going to move him? And he says, don't mention that. He said, that's our ace in recruiting right now. Ole Miss is talking about, you know, other positions that he might play. And, you know, I think there was a relative of his that went to Ole Miss, and they moved outside linebacker. And so that was fresh in KJ's mind. And Joe is like, yeah, you can always move a quarterback once you get him to campus. But just like, quarterbacks want to be quarterbacks. You know, it's like wide receivers want to be wide receivers. You know, it's like, hey, you might be a DB when you get here, but just say, that's a no-no in recruiting, to tell a quarterback your position. And Steve Atwater played quarterback in high school. Arkansas was running the wishbone, which is what he ran in high school. They knew he was going to be a safety. That was not broached until at least he set foot on campus and went to a class. And then it was like, all right, you're a DB, and these are the guys that can throw it and you can't. But it's like, I can imagine how KJ reacted to, yeah, you might be a wide receiver down here. And it's like, no, I think I'm going to Arkansas.
The Whole Hog Football Podcast is brought to you by Bud Anderson Home Services. Visit them online at gocallbud.com.
Bud Anderson is proud to be the official heating and cooling provider for the Arkansas Razorbacks. This partnership will support all Razorback athletics for over 400 student athletes across 19 sports. Woo pig!
WholeHogSports.com has the largest, most experienced staff of reporters covering sports in Arkansas. Football, basketball, baseball, recruiting, and more. You'll find it at WholeHogSports.com. The website includes up-to-minute news, daily commentaries, and award-winning photography from the staffs of Hogs Illustrated and the Democrat Gazette. For subscriptions, call 1-800-757-6277. That's 1-800-757-6277. Or visit us online today. WholeHogSports.com.
Want more coverage of your home team? Download the Whole Hog Sports Video On Demand app. Check out the Fan Zone and get up-to-the-minute videos, podcasts, and features on football, basketball, baseball, recruiting, and more. Search for Whole Hog Sports on Apple TV, Roku, and Amazon Fire at home. And take it with you on the go by downloading it for your mobile device in your app store. The Whole Hog Sports Video On Demand app. Get it today.
Welcome back to the Whole Hog Football Podcast.
Arkansas beat Ole Miss 33-21 last year in Fayetteville. As we mentioned earlier, the 6 interceptions by Matt Corral, easily the worst game that he's played at Ole Miss. Arkansas returned 2 of those for touchdowns. Jalen Catalan had a pick 6 early in that game, and then Grant Morgan had an interception that he returned for a touchdown that pretty well clinched it late in the fourth quarter. Sam Pittman's talked this week about they're going to have to approach this game differently from a defensive scheme. You can't just rush 3 and drop 8 against Corral this time, because if you do, they're going to be ready for it and they're going to pick Arkansas apart. Clay, how do you think they attack him this week?
Yeah, I just remember talking to defensive coordinators just really the last 30 years, and the standard operating procedure is that you go after young quarterbacks and you don't experience quarterbacks. But by the same token, what you have to do against experienced quarterback is you can't do the same thing. You can't do the same thing play after play after play. You've got to move your front. You've got to change your linebackers. You've got to walk them, you know, as he's making his reads. You've got to do things post-snap. And so I think what you see is maybe not what you're going to get post-snap. And I think that's what Barry Odom will do. He's got experienced players. There's a lot of veteran players on this defense. You know, it's they've got Jaden Johnson, who's a young player, but by and large, all these guys have played. Most of them played against Corral last year. Bumper Pool was out that game, but I think it's just you vary the approach, and then if you find something that's working, then maybe you come back to that. But it's they've got it's going to be a long game. There's going to be a lot of swings in momentum, just like there were last year. Ole Miss can move the ball, but you know you got to give them some bad plays. You know, I don't know if people realize this, but last week Arkansas gave Georgia 4 lost yardage plays. Well, that's the fewest that they've been able to do the entire year. Now, Georgia didn't do anything that kind of left themselves open. When you're running off tackle, it's hard to have a lost yardage play. Arkansas has got to do things to deter Ole Miss from being in 4 down territory. And by that, I mean, they're in 4 down territory when they walk off the bus. They'll go for it for 4th down, unless it's 4th and 8 or 4th and 11. But 4th and inside of 4, Lane Kiffin's going to go for it. So get them off rhythm with some lost yardage plays. And to do that, I think it's variation. It's not the same thing over.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. Arkansas is going to have to mix up its looks, I think. And, you know, with Lane Kiffin and the offense that he likes to run, and when you got a quarterback like Matt Corral, like you're going to throw it, you know, quite a bit, because I mean, he's the best player you've got on offense. But I think Arkansas is going to have to be a little bit more multiple, because Ole Miss's running game is pretty good. Jerry and Ely, Snoop Connor, the Parrish kid, like those are 3 guys that you've really got to account for in the run game, and they're pretty physical guys that, you know, you don't want them, you know, running in space, because they can blow by you. And Matt Corral, I think, you know, if he doesn't see what he wants right away, he's a more than capable runner too. I think he actually leads them in touchdown runs, or if he's second on the team, he's first or second. So I mean, he might pull the ball down and run on you too. He's pretty athletic. So I think Arkansas, they can't just, you know, stick to one look. They're going to have to make Matt Corral, you know, think a little bit more than, you know, he did last year. And he clearly was in his own head a lot.
Yeah, you better have a man spying on Corral in every play. And he had 6 touchdowns. He is the leading scorer for them as far as rushing touchdowns. And they're on the goal line and they're on 4th down plays. That's an option. When I say an option, it will be an option play. 4th and 2, you're going to have to account for a lot of different things. And I can remember Bobby Petrino telling me the best play on the goal line is an option keeper by the quarterback. It's just, and that goes for KJ Jefferson as well. So I think those plays in the red zone by the two quarterbacks will probably determine the game. And can either team get enough heat on the quarterback that takes those plays away? But yeah, Matt Corral is he's an interesting cat, and I mean, I think he's got revenge in his heart this week.
Arkansas might actually have to put a majority of their heat on Corral when he does run the ball, just because when, you know, when he drops back the pass, like, he gets the ball out so quick to those receivers and just, you know, lets them make plays. So I think you gotta make your presence felt maybe when he decides, you know, a few times to pull the ball down and run with it.
Yeah, the tough part is that he'll throw the slants. He's really good. And if you set the linebackers to take away the slant, well, then that's just playing right to their hands, because that's when they're going to run the ball. You know, they've got angles to block. So it's a good offense. It's similar to Arkansas's offense, and makes for a fun cat and mouse chess games, because each team understands what they're doing, but there's good players. Get off blocks, block. that's the game.
Corral's surrounded by a lot of really good skill players: Jerrion Ealy, Henry Parrish Jr., really good running backs. They're not expected to have Jonathan Mingo this week. The reports are that he's broken his foot and will be out for a while. He was their second leading receiver going into Alabama, but they've still got some really good ones. Dontario Drummond, one of the SEC's best. Also, Braylon Sanders made a great catch last week at Alabama, and he's been doing that all season, been making plays for the Rebels. One other player, not to forget, John Reese Plumley. He was the quarterback for them who ran for, I don't know how many yards against LSU in 2019, but just gave that great LSU defense fits. They've got him at wide receiver, so they could potentially do some wrinkles with him at receiver. Plumley and Ealy are also baseball players for the Rebels. One more thing before we get to the weekend predictions. We touched on this, and that's the propensity to go for it on fourth down by Lane Kiffin. They're 14 of 19 this year on fourth down. It's unlike anything else that I think you see in college football. Although, if you know, I watch the Dallas Cowboys every week, you're seeing Dallas go for it a lot more on fourth down. These coaches are really trusting the analytics a lot more. And Lane Kiffin, even though they missed three fourth downs last week against Alabama, that I think probably helped turn that game around a little bit, he really believes in the analytics and what he's reading, and that going for it on fourth down is going to help his team. But on the flip side, if you don't make them, all of a sudden, you know, they didn't make four last year in Fayetteville. All of a sudden, that really benefits the the opposing team. And so that's kind of a wild card in this game, is how Ole Miss does on fourth down.
Yeah, I think when you've got a quarterback like Corral, it kind of makes you a little more comfortable about going for it for fourth down. It's like, we're going to put the ball in his hands. We're going to let him make a play. And more times than not, Matt Corral's going to make a play. I mean, if you got a Quinn Grovey or you got a Matt Jones, it's like, just keep putting it in his hands. And that's what Corral is for Lane Kiffin right now. If you got a young quarterback that you don't know where the ball is going to go and you don't know how he's going to be post-snap, maybe you don't go for as many times on fourth down. But, yeah, the analytics look good when you've got good players. And it's and the other part about it, hey, your defense sometimes is not so good. Let's just let's don't give the other team the ball. Yeah, I think score can dictate that too. I think when you have the lead, it's like, well, let's don't take as many chances. But when you're playing from behind, as Ole Miss was last year and as they were against Alabama, you don't have a lot to lose.
Let's move to our weekend predictions. We'll pick games around the SEC this weekend. Some games we won't pick that just seems kind of be foregone conclusions. Vanderbilt's at Florida on the SEC Network Saturday morning at 11, same time on ESPN2, South Carolina at Tennessee. And then the mid-afternoon game on the SEC Network is North Texas at Missouri. You expect Missouri to win that game, but of course, you know, North Texas with Mason Fine, a different quarterback, came to Fayetteville and won a few years ago, and Missouri really has not looked good the last couple of weeks against Boston College and Tennessee. The games we will pick.
Mason, I got a question. Is Mason Fine 36 now?
Maybe so. Yeah, he was definitely an older quarterback whenever they came to Fayetteville and won. Games we will pick, we'll start with Saturday night in Lexington. If you want to get weird, go watch LSU and Kentucky in Lexington. How about this for their last three meetings? 2007, That was the last time they played in Lexington, by the way. If that doesn't illustrate the problem with the SEC scheduling, there's been 14 years between playing at one side. I don't know what does, but Kentucky beat them in triple overtime in 2007. That was one of those two LSU losses, the other one being to Arkansas during their national championship season. Everybody remembers the Bluegrass Miracle in 2002 when Marcus Randle throws the 74-yard touchdown on the last play of the game. 2001, Rohan Davies scored a touchdown with 17 seconds left to give LSU a win in Kentucky. In 99, they played the routine football score of 31-5. Hal Mumme and Tim Couch and Mike Leach and the boys beat up on LSU that day. LSU struggling. Kentucky is the upstart team right now in the SEC behind Alabama and Georgia. Scotty, who do you think wins this one Saturday night?
Yeah, Kentucky's 5-0 for the first time in a minute, right? Like, Kentucky's kind of rolling, and LSU's just got – and they got problems. And you look at LSU and the things that, you know, made LSU LSU when I was coming up. Obviously, y'all saw it too. Like, really good running game. They don't have it. And they're kind of struggling to push the ball with down the field with the run with Brad Davis, you know, coaching the offensive line. Not saying it's all on him, obviously, but it's interesting. I'm going with Kentucky. I think Kentucky's in a much better space right now than LSU is. They seem to have a lot of problems.
Yeah, I think this is to me the there's lots of good games all across college football. You know, the LSU Kentucky game fascinates me the most, and this LSU team has the capability to get Ed Orgeron fired. And you would think 2 years removed from, you know, having the best team in school history, winning a national championship with an unbelievable offense, I don't think Ed gets a lot of credit for that. I think Joe Brady does. And they're kind of, rumbling a little bit down on the bow. And you say, well, they can't afford that buyout. Well, you know, strange things happen when the coaches are on the hot seat. And LSU cannot run the ball. They don't have a good running back. I can remember when they had three or four. They don't have one. They do not have a pass rusher. I have never seen Bo Nix, who I think is an average scrambler. He's all right. He's not Johnny Manziel, and he's not Archie Manning, but he's okay. They chased him and never touched him for the whole second half. I just haven't seen an LSU team that didn't have a defensive end that you say sick them and couldn't go get the quarterback. And so, however they've done recruiting, not to have a running back and not to have a pass rusher, I think Ed Orgeron is on thin ice.
Everybody talks about Joe Brady from that 19 team. Dave Aranda was the defensive coordinator that year, and they lost him to Baylor after the season. I think that was equally as big of a loss for LSU. One more note on Kentucky. They have kind of quietly assembled a really strong defense and really great line play in Lexington. And it seems to me like they've now got the foundation set there under Mark Stoops that they're going to be able to be a team that wins 7-8 games most years, especially playing the SEC East. And, you know, when you have those cycles of you know, classes that get to be juniors and seniors, that's when you've got the potential to have those 10-win seasons. I think Kentucky's really set up quite well. I think if CBS had to do it over again, they wouldn't have picked Alabama at Texas A&M for a primetime doubleheader. The Aggies are coming off two straight losses to Arkansas and Mississippi State, and Alabama, of course, is rolling. They're going to play at 7 o'clock, though, on CBS Saturday night. Any thought that A&M can hang with Alabama this week?
The game will be decided in the first quarter. Alabama will probably score 2 to 3 times, and Texas A&M will get absolutely nothing. And Jake Calzada will meet Will Anderson in the first quarter, and it won't be pretty.
Remember, these Alabama Texas A&M games that are played, this is at Kyle Field, right, this weekend? I remember when Texas A&M was legitimately good several years ago, and I think it may have been a top 10, top 15 game, and Alabama won it like 59-0. I don't think it'll be that bad. But Zach Calzada playing against that Alabama defense, he's going to be overwhelmed like he has not been all season long. And he's seen some good defenses. I'm with Clay. I don't think this one will be close at all.
Oklahoma, Texas, a future SEC game, the Red River game in Dallas.
This is interesting because I think it, you know, Arkansas fans want to stick out their chest and brag about, you know, a good victory over Texas. And, you know, do you pull for Texas against Oklahoma? I mean, it just kind of rails against everything that's in my soul to do that. But this is a game where you kind of want Texas to raise up and kind of smack these Sooners, and I think Texas might be a little bit of a different team since they've changed quarterbacks. Oklahoma does not show any sign of solving their offensive line problems, and you just kind of look out there, and Arkansas's got Ricky Stromberg and Brady Latham, and they didn't want either one of those guys, and they'd be playing pretty good for Oklahoma right now. So I've got a feeling that Texas is going to at least cover and might win outright.
Yeah, I'm with Clay. I think Texas is a different team since they went with Casey Thompson at quarterback, and then obviously Bijan Robinson. You know, he's had some really good games since he played Arkansas. Texas is just playing really well. I'm going to go with them, and I think, you know, Spencer Rattler is still figuring some things out offensively for Oklahoma. I mean, this is not like your typical Lincoln Riley offense. I think Texas is good enough defensively to kind of put the clamps down.
OU has been shaky the last 3 weeks against Nebraska and West Virginia and Kansas State. Texas, since they left Fayetteville, won by a combined 98 points. Can Auburn hang with Georgia mid-afternoon game on CBS?
No.
You got to say why.
Jordan Davis. That defense is just too overwhelming, man. And it's just behind Jordan Davis, they can roll in guys like they make them in a factory. And then, I mean, they're just sound at every level. And I think, you know, Auburn's defense is not typical Auburn defense. They don't have the Jordan Davis type guys that, you know, they had several years ago with who was it, Marlon Davidson and Derek Brown, those guys. They don't have those guys anymore. And I don't know that it'll be just if they'll beat Auburn the same way that they beat Arkansas, just turning around and handing the ball off, but they might be able to do that.
Yeah, they lost Big Cat Bryant, too, from last year. I mean, they had the best defensive line in the country, and now they're all right. They don't have strength at wide receiver, and that's why Bo Nix has to run around a lot. Dean, the linebacker, that must be a delightful job, knowing there's three guys blocking your nose tackle, and anytime I want to, I just run through and hit the quarterback because it's not going to be anybody to touch me. And Bo Nix will find out that there won't be a lot of time to run around this week.
That's exactly what I was going to say. He's going to get hit, and they will lay hands on him this week where LSU didn't last week.
Man, it's good for Arkansas, right?
Let
Georgia pound on these Tigers. And to think that the spread is, what was it, 16? Was that, or is it 14 and a half, Matt? What was the spread?
It's a lot. I think it's a 16-point spread.
Yeah. Well, that's not enough. That's all I got to say.
Finally, Arkansas and Ole Miss. The Razorbacks have really been really good in this series. You take away the 2 years under Chad Morris, and it's really been all Arkansas for the last 7 years. Do you think Arkansas can go in Oxford and win, Clay?
Yeah, I think they can, and I picked them to win. I would not be surprised Ole Miss won. I think they got a lot of good players. There's a lot of motivation and revenge. It's a fun series that there's been some really wild games, some wild results. That, you know, Arkansas has won some great games. And then I can remember Arkansas, you know, Ken Hatfield's team driving for a winning score. And Ron Dickerson, you know, gets the ball at the 1 yard line and he's got one guy to run over. And it was the most unbelievable form tackle. And he got stoned, you know, a half yard short. In the, you know, the 7 overtime game, they get the ball in the 2-point play that ended the game. Eli Manning gets it to his tight end in open space, and he's got to beat Jermaine Petty. And Jermaine Petty, as the quote I got yesterday from John Thompson, turned his helmet back to the other goal line. It's the most unbelievable form tackle you've ever seen. And so there's just, you know, you go back to 54, the Powder River play, Buddy Bob to Preston Carpenter. I mean, it's just some incredible results in this series that it's always entertaining.
Yeah, I'm going with Ole Miss in a close game. I think something weird happens, but I think the Rebels' run game makes a difference.
I'm a big believer that defense travels. Arkansas has got a really good defense this year. I think regardless of what happened last week against Georgia, I think they'll play good defensively against Ole Miss. And I think Arkansas is a more disciplined team. And I think that discipline will help the Razorbacks get a win this weekend. Arkansas Ole Miss, 11 a.m. on ESPN Saturday morning. For more on the game before, during, or after, visit us at wholehogsports.com. We'll be back with a podcast next week to recap the game, as well as look ahead to the Razorbacks' next home game against Auburn. For Clay Henry and Scotty Bordelon, I'm Matt Jones. Thanks for joining us.
The proceeding has been a production of wholehogsports.com. Look for our latest podcast on iTunes, Spotify, or your favorite podcast store. And visit us anytime at wholehogsports.com for the latest news and commentary.